A former Democrat from Maine, Hannibal Hamlin, was nominated for the vice presidential slot. Again, that will broaden appeal of the party during the election. A former Democrat and Abraham Lincoln, a former Whig, heading the ticket for the Republican Party. The Republican platform called for, first, no slavery in the federal territories, and that's the most important plank, no extension of slavery into the federal territories. Second, it deplored John Brown's raid, the platform did. Third, it said that it would not strike against slavery where it already existed. We do not want to kill slavery in the southern states where it already exists, said the Republican platform. They're officially on record in that regard. And finally, the platform called for a Homestead Act. It called for internal improvements, that is government support for things such as railroads, harbor improvements, canals, and so forth, big public works projects. It called for a transcontinental railroad as part of that, and it also supported protective tariffs to help fledgling industry in the United States compete with products from abroad. Take all of these economic parts of the platform and put them together, and you see a clear expression of what we talked about last time as well, the mercantile business, free labor sentiments of the modernizing North. The Republican Party clearly represents that kind of sentiment. So we have three candidates in the field now, the two Democrats and Abraham Lincoln for the Republicans. A fourth party also put forward a ticket, a party called the Constitutional Union Party. This was essentially the old American or know-nothing party of the mid-1850s without the fiercely nativist element of that party, without the vicious anti-Catholic, anti-immigrant rhetoric of the American or know-nothing party. Many of these Constitutional Union supporters would have been know-nothings or American Party people. They took a middle-of-the-road course. They didn't even mention slavery in their official platform. What they tried to do was appeal to the nation strictly on the basis of the Union. They said, we love the Union. The Union is more important than anything else in our political life, and we should put aside our sectional differences and support the Union and the Constitution and our national laws. The candidates were John Bell of Tennessee and Edward Everett of Massachusetts. So there are the four candidates, Lincoln and Douglas and Breckinridge and John Bell of Tennessee. The campaign, let's move on to the campaign itself. Now, the campaign offered the interesting spectacle, really, of a couple of campaigns going on at the same time. Four men with very different platforms and constituencies all professed to love the Union. And their rhetoric, I think, should not be viewed as just rhetoric. I think they really did love the Union, each in his own way, each of the parties in its own way. But it shows the degree to which the nation had divided in terms of how it understood what the best interests of each part of the nation were. Let me just quote from each of them. Douglas said the federal union must be preserved. Breckinridge said that the Constitution and the equality of the states are symbols of everlasting union. To Lincoln, what he called the perpetual union, indivisible and eternal, was an article of faith. And of course, for John Bell and the Constitutional Union Party, union is all there was. That is what they were running on. They were running on union. The canvass quickly became a race in the North and a race in the South. It was Lincoln versus Douglas in the North and Bell versus Breckinridge in the South. Lincoln and Douglas had no chance for electoral votes in the slave states. Bell and Breckinridge, no chance for electoral votes in the free states. Lincoln wasn't even on the ballot. The Republican candidate for president was not even on the ballot in a number of southern states. It's very hard for us to imagine now that a major candidate of one of the great parties would not even appear on our ballot if we lived in certain states, but that was the situation in 1860. It became clear very early on that Lincoln could lose only if the other three candidates somehow managed to fuse their tickets and pool their support. And of course, that was impossible. And the notion that defeat was almost certain brought great gloom to the Democratic efforts. The South worked itself into another state of hysteria during the campaign as rumors of slave insurrections and of what might happen if the Republicans won swept across many of the southern states.